Battleground USA in New Mexico as Trump and Clinton battle to a heated tie. They are also deadlocked in New Mexico polls. Believe it or not. So New Mexico is not just a battleground state, but seen as a possible make or break zone for the candidates. Meanwhile, Trump gets his taxes of 20 years ago illegally shared, where the speculation is he hasn't paid taxes in 20 years. In the meantime, the share, New York Times, is outed as a non-taxpayer as recently as 2014. Fascinating news, friends. Now, as October breaks, the fall temps are starting to lower as we get a touch of monsoon at near 1 inch of rain recently, the most this year. Yeah, you have to admit, as things are changing strangely, Doniana County always seems to be the same. But when even super reality star Kim K gets robbed at gunpoint in France, things are really heating up across the United States. Good morning, folks. 607, Kelly O'Connell here. And I have arranged for my buddy, who, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you may have heard him in the past, my buddy Roger from Florida, to call in. He just got back from a trip, and we were talking about it over in Europe. And he had so many fascinating thoughts on it. So I thought, well, might find it interesting on the show a little bit. Some of it is cultural, some of it political, some of it is the George. But we have also got a monster storm, one of the biggest storms in the last 10 years, coming out near Haiti. And as most people are aware, Haiti is an area that has a lot of, well, a lot of poverty, obviously. They had the massive earthquake over there. And after the earthquake, hundreds of thousands of people dead, and area square miles of housing knocked down. As a matter of fact, I lived in a Haitian neighborhood for part of my time in over in Florida, so in Miami. So I'm very familiar with the community. And now we've got a hurricane that could bring 40 inches of rain to Haiti and sweep over Jamaica as well, which they're already feeling the effects. But here's a little bit on that Hurricane Matthew.
One person. Hurricane Matthew is already a Category 4 storm. How did this happen so fast? Janet Steen tracking this monster. Janet.
Hi, Neil. We are going to be watching the storm through the weekend and into next week. Hurricane Matthew was a Category 5 overnight, the strongest hurricane in the Atlantic Basin in close to 10 years. And we are worried about Jamaica, as well as Haiti and Cuba and the East Coast as we get into next week. So there's the forecast path. It is a Category 4. It's weakened a little bit. We're expecting a trend of a little bit of weakening, but re-strengthening as it moves into the Bahamas. And as you can see, as we go into Wednesday and Thursday, not a lot of confidence in the forecast model. So if you live in Florida, all up and down the East Coast, you need to be paying very close attention and have your hurricane plan intact. The deal is, we don't know what's going to happen until this storm starts to make its northward turn, but we are going to be dealing with a serious major hurricane. Again, concerns for Jamaica, as well as Haiti and Cuba and Florida. You are in the crosshairs as far as the cone of uncertainty. And the water temperatures here, Neil, very warm. So we are expecting a little bit of weakening and then strengthening again. What is steering the storm? We've got an area of low pressure across the Ohio Valley and an area of high pressure, depending on which one is more strong or stronger. That's what's going to steer this storm. But I can't stress enough, if you live along the East Coast, you really need to pay attention to the storm system, as a lot of the forecast models have a lot of uncertainty. Back to you.
Scary stuff. Janice, thank you very much. Janice Steen.
All right, so we'll get to a little bit more on that, but really devastating potential. And let's, I'm going to see if I can get Roger on the phone here. Yeah, in just a second here. It's 6:11, and got a little Stanley Turrentine for you here this week. Been trying to work through some classic jazz for you in the last couple of months, and I've really enjoyed it myself. Kelly O'Connell at 6:11. It's the 3rd of October, and Stanley Turrentine 2 Blue. We'll be right back, hopefully with Roger from Florida. And let me... We'll do that right now. 523-1450 on KOBE. KOB 1450 and AM Las Cruces. Hey.
Hey, Kelly.
How's it going, man? We're not on the air yet. We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I think I was going to give you a couple minutes.
Well, I'm on break right now, but I told I did an intro for your segment.
So are you I'm also moving up in the world if I have my own segment.
Yes, indeed. So are you guys feeling any of this hurricane?
No. I mean, yesterday it was pretty cloudy and kind of rainy, but, I mean, today's beautiful, Kelly. I mean, the hurricane is still pretty far off.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But, yeah, hopefully it doesn't make landfall because my night's done.
Well, it's supposed to stay off to the right side, so.
Well, you know how that goes. Hopefully it will, but it may not.
Yeah, I remember when I was on camp, or after I had moved to Little Haiti, before that season.
Man, I don't even know how you made out in Little Haiti with all those hurricanes. I'm surprised your place didn't collapse or something.
I know. Dude, that was brutal.
Yeah, yes, it was.
You never came out there, I don't think.
Yeah, I came out there like once or twice. Oh. We hung out at that place, the Estimation Patty.
Oh, that's right, man. I forget. Those were grim days, man.
Yeah, a little bit different, doing a bit better. I mean, we're both doing better in life, but yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. As you get older, things are supposed to get better.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Hold on.
All right.
Hey, do you want me to say that you're African-American as part of this trip?
Yeah, that's fine. I was going to say that anyway, but that's fine.
All right, so folks, I've got Roger on the line here, and if you remember... We did a 9/11 memorial a couple of years ago, and I had Roger call in. He was in New York City when 9/11 occurred. So, and I think Roger's called in a couple of other times. Anyway, Roger is an old buddy of mine from Florida, and we used to work at the same university down there, and we kept our friendship up. And as a matter of fact, Roger helped me with the screening on my first show with Canada Free Press out of Toronto. So anyway, good morning to you, Roger.
Good morning, Kelly, and good morning to all of Kelly's listeners.
Okay. Well, Roger, you just got back from Germany. We were having a conversation yesterday, and it was so fascinating. I said, any chance we can save this and bottle it up for the show tomorrow? And you said, yeah, no problem. So where are you living right now?
I am living in Hollywood, Florida, which for those of you that don't know, it's just south of Fort Lauderdale and just north of Miami.
And Hollywood is kind of, it's got a different feel. It's a little more down to earth and it's a little safer. There's less crime. It's right on the ocean, et cetera.
No, that is correct. I mean, it's more of a suburbia feel to it, more, you know, more family oriented, a little bit slower than Miami or even Fort Lauderdale.
And I mean, it feels like an old style community to me a little bit. It's like a little bit of maybe a throwback to what Miami used to be before it became this giant corporate destination.
No, I would agree with you there, Kelly, definitely.
All right, so you and I were talking a few months ago, and you said, you know, I've got this trip planned for Germany. And I was like, wow, fantastic. You took off, and you spent some time there and then came back. And then yesterday is the first day that we had a chance to catch up. What was your reasoning for going to Europe and Germany in particular?
Well, I spent my birthday over there, and this year I wanted to do something very special for my birthday. Originally, I had planned on going with a friend to Colombia, but he wasn't able to go anymore, and I just really thought about it and then said, you know, Colombia's kind of close to Miami. It's not that expensive. I could pretty much do that anytime. And for my birthday this year, I wanted to do something really big. So I said, you know what? I've never been to Europe. I've got a lot of friends that have told me a lot of positive things. In fact, I even have a few guys that have left the United States to permanently go live in Europe. So I had to go see what the hubbub is all about. So I ended up picking Berlin because, it's, from what I was told, it was the party capital of the world, and that's a reputation that is well-deserved. And they speak English. And I've also heard a lot of good things about Germany in reference to African-Americans. So I said, let me go over there and check it out.
All right. And that's one of the things that I was kind of fascinated by is you were saying, I've got a certain status. The African-American community in America has a certain status. But I've heard that African-Americans or Africans have a different status in Europe. And I'm kind of fascinated by that. I want to go check it out. That was one thing. And then another thing that I want to throw in here also is there's a question of gender and how men and women relate in general that you passed on to me that I thought was pretty fascinating involving basically, what would you say, the loss of masculinity in America?
Yeah, I mean, initially, as soon as I got over there, and just to back up a little bit as far as the whole Afro-American, African thing. Germany, the first thing is look at color and nationality. Well, I said whether you can speak German, but after that, it's nationality. Don't call everyone what we do in the States by race. It's nationality, class, then ethnicity over there.
And you've never brought to me a number of race. He's been in the mix of the different conversations that we have. So you've got kind of more of a cosmopolitan view of life from my perspective to begin with.
Well, no, definitely. I mean, scientifically speaking, only one race, the human race. I mean, all human beings are 99.98% identical. So these differences that we focus on, these are because of the fact that human beings are very good at picking out and recognizing patterns and making correlations, and that realistically our differences are really just in deep.
Literally. Yeah. It's Homo sapien now. And I guess, the race has adapted over the years, over the centuries to be in the areas where they were living.
I mean, to a certain extent, yes, but that's what I kind of like about the feel of Europe, because they don't classify themselves as white or black or whatever. It's like I said, like, there are European people that can't stand other European peoples. And even though they would be like, yeah, we're white, but they just see that as a very, very broad and low classification. Like, they don't see – I didn't see any sense of solidarity because they were all white. Like, I mean, I'm not going to get into saying which groups don't dislike other groups for obvious reasons, but anyone that's familiar with Europeans will know you shouldn't confuse people from this country from people from that country, because they'll get offended.
Yeah.
And then when it came to just with blacks, I noticed that if you're a black from the United States or UK, you were given very different treatment than if you were from certain African countries, especially certain African countries, which I was told they tend to have a lot of problems with people coming from there. So it's
Well, I think people need to bear in mind in America, if you meet somebody who's dark complected, almost everybody would either be from America, having been born and raised here, or maybe from the Caribbean islands or something like that. It is not typical to meet someone in this country from Africa. Now, maybe it is in Miami. There's ethnically homogenous communities, little communities all across Miami. But so that's different about Europe. One of the things I noticed, when I was living in Ireland, I got to know a guy named Stephen who's directly from Africa, and there were other people in Ireland even. So go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, it's so obvious. Like, obviously, when I'm online going into a club and I notice everyone else, you know, either doesn't show ID or shows, like, I guess, whatever the German ID is. But then when they get to me and they immediately ask me for my passport and they spend like a good minute or two studying it, you got to get to read between the lines there.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have any sense there was a heightened a heightened sense of drama, security issues with Islamic stuff or radical Islam?
I mean, Kelly, honestly, all right, you and I have spoken, and you know that I'm a strong second rights advocate,
yeah.
Second Amendment advocate.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, being in Berlin, even in some neighborhoods that on the surface look very sketchy, that was the safest I have ever felt in my entire life.
Really?
I was there for 9 days. I kept the Miami schedule. So and by German time, I would wake up at 12, 1 o'clock. I was out all day, come back around 6, change, get something to eat, go back out at 8 p.m. and not come back till 6 o'clock in the morning, which was like 11, 12 o'clock at night, Eastern time. And I went all over Berlin. And I got to tell you, Kelly, the whole time I was out, I didn't see one fight, one altercation, one argument. Everyone that said to me would have to go. I was a high degree of respect for police. But I was pleased to give them a lot of time out of their way. Some of my German friends, I didn't know, was kind of like pushed out the police, just blew.
All right, and were there a lot of young people there?
Yeah, I would say, and this is just off my observations, and keeping in mind most of the places I went to are probably places that younger people tend to frequent, but I would say 50% or more of the population seem to be under the age of 30.
So that's a party place, or is it a working town? Is it like Chicago? Is it a party place? Is it... You know, what was the feel you had?
Well, I'm gonna reiterate what many of my German friends told me is that A, Berlin is the most un-German city in all of Germany, and yes, Berlin is the party capital of Europe. And then I would say half of the population of Berlin doesn't really work, whereas the other half are mainly comprised of people like artists, actors, painters, writers, musicians, people that basically come to Berlin looking to find themselves or looking to make their dreams come true.
Huh.
So it's really a dynamic and eclectic mix of people in Berlin. And then, of course, you have a very large expat and foreigners that come there to visit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's a very historic city, too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Berlin that would harken back to World War II or the Cold War, you know?
I mean, it is, and that part was a little depressing because it made going on tours. It was a bit of a buzzkill because there are very beautiful and historic buildings that still bear the scars of World War II, and when you just hear what was done and like the Berlin Cathedral, there was this gigantic firebomb that was dropped on it by the British during World War II, and then they, and then it's like it kind of imploded, and then the fire burned for several days. And then when they went to rebuild it, they tried to like keep some of the original foundations or some of the original bricks or masonry from the original building, and you can still see the, I mean, it still looks charred, like literally charred.
Wow.
And they explain to you how that part of the church is the old part, and that's the part that's all black and charred looking, and then the, and then the ones that don't have that were the ones that they came. I mean, it's a little depressing, Kelly, just to see the, that but, even today that there are still historic buildings that bear the scars of a war that happened about 70 years ago.
But at the same time, it's a nice reminder of the history, which we don't necessarily have in this country.
I mean, definitely. I mean, it's definitely there as a caution for that. Yeah, we really should try to avoid another global conflict at all costs.
Absolutely. All right. So how about if we take a break here and then come back? I'd like, what I'd like to get into is one of the most fascinating parts of the conversation yesterday for me. You started talking about the roles of men and women in America versus that in Europe, and also some of the stuff that you've been reading that has influenced your thinking on this.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, folks. And Roger, you're a tech guy. Did you see any tech jobs in Europe?
You know, I didn't get an opportunity to look into that very much, but just so everyone knows, there is a worker shortage in Germany, and to the point that the German government is willing to pay for undergraduate and graduate degrees for foreigners that are willing to relocate to Germany. So
finally, we have a place for University of New Mexico students to go, and NMSU. Fantastic. Roger, we'll be right back.
All right,
folks. And I just want to include this in on you. This issue of the differences between men and women here in Europe could get a little bit touchy, could get a little controversial. Roger, we'll be right back. All right, folks, let's take a break here. My old buddy Roger, who real good guy. 629 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. And I have your text machine back. Took a little vacation. 805-6180. We'll be right back to talk to Roger. Hey, it's Kelly. Hold on just a second.
I think I just lost you.
Did you call back?
Yeah, I just called back.
All right. So, hold on a second. Listen, don't be afraid to get into stuff that you might think wouldn't be politically correct, because that's what makes it interesting.
Not a problem there, Kelly. But at the same time, I don't want to get into this, complaining about other women. I've broken up like, the positive about what Germany versus the
that's fine.
How much time do we have to get in?
2 minutes.
Cool.
Time for us.
Oh, did you have?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I did.
Did you have an opportunity?
I did. I've been on those sites before. I've been on Rouge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been on Return of Kings. Return of Kings has a lot of fantastic articles in it.
Okay, yeah. I kind of figured that either you knew about them already, but if not, I was like, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you've ever hit Maverick Traveler before.
I don't think I've seen that one.
But I don't know if you've actually read the travel section of Bruce V, because honestly, that was a big, that was very inspirational, just listening to the stories, especially being that there's a section for African-Americans to travel and, you know, the best recommended places to visit. So as as well as places that to avoid.
Yeah.
So that's good, Kelly. You're definitely aware of the manosphere. That's good.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I hope today is a good day for you because today is absolutely beautiful right now.
Well, I mean, you know, it's cooling down a little bit, but it is. It's not, I mean, you know, it's a hot part of the country, but it's not like Miami has just got this sweltering, well, yeah, I'm not muggy, you know, this real muggy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something about the,
yeah.
I mean, I like
yeah,
Miami
I mean,
and everything.
The humidity.
But listen, the more controversial, the better. You don't have to insult anybody. I agree with that, but. But don't be afraid to step out and give your opinion on the status of cucks in America. that's one of my favorite words of all time. We're on.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. It is Kelly here, and I've got my buddy Roger on the line. And congratulations to New Mexico State, double overtime win in Louisiana. But all right, so Roger, you and I have had many, many, many conversations, many of them philosophical, political. You and I have argued about basically conservative versus, you know, I'm trying to think of the word.
Liberalism?
Yeah, not liberal. Yeah, we've talked about that. But the one in the center, I've got a brain freeze here.
Moderate?
Well, no. But anyway, I'll think of it. But anyway, we've talked about religion. We've talked about, you know, sex. We've talked about race. We've talked about culture. We've talked about we've had 1,000 conversations. So anyway, I know your mind pretty well, and I consider you to be a pretty open-minded person. So I thought that was doubly interesting. Some of the stuff you've been reading lately, and especially getting into the manosphere. So you're in Germany, but give us a little. Roger just got back from Germany. My buddy Roger from Florida. If you're just tuning in, you're going to Germany, but you've got in the back of your mind some stuff that you've been reading and studying. And tell us about that, the manosphere.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure most people, either they're familiar or if a very quick search, you'll find a lot of different websites about a lot of different masculine topics, things regarding their opinions on feminism, social justice warriors, and things of that like. One of the motivations for me to travel was I've been reading a bunch of different sites, and some of them have extensive travel sections where they're reviews on best places to go, best time of year, what it's like to live over there, best places to go out and you know, the best bars and clubs to go out if you're single, et cetera, et cetera. And in addition to that, I've actually asked some acquaintances, some friends that have been traveling back and forth to Europe, South America, Asia, Oceania, and the general consensus was that the quality of life in many other countries is much higher than the United States, assuming you put in the same or maybe a little less effort than you would in the United States. And at first, I thought that was impossible. I really didn't believe it, but it just became that I was just hearing the same thing over and over again from many different sources that I just said, you know what, I had to go out of Europe and kind of like check out the hype and see if, you know, Europe, Berlin especially, could live up the hype. And I got to tell you, Kelly, all expectations were exceeded.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, we know that they have a nice quality of life over in Europe, but I was throwing it back at you last night. Is it worth it at the cost of socialism or... you know, people unemployed?
Well, only there 9 days. B, I was not working over there, so I was definitely in vacation mode, which obviously makes things a lot nicer. And C, as my German friends keep reminding me, Berlin is the poorest city in Germany, and Berlin is also the most non-German city in all of Germany. Case in point, half of Berlin isn't even German. And the weird thing about it is that I couldn't figure out, I mean, from what people told me, is that half of Berlin was basically living off of the system. You know, basically they had enough money that they could get by, and they were just basically spending their time hanging out, using drugs, and partying. But the other half was really trying to make things happen and trying to pursue their dreams, and were hardworking. And that mix was kind of hard for me to comprehend, actually, how on the one side you could have so many people that were not ambitious and completely dependent upon the state, but then you had this other group that were very ambitious and were trying to find themselves and definitely pursuing their dreams. So I guess to answer your question, Kelly, is that, I mean, the jury's out. I generally think socialism is a bad idea. However, I think I'm beginning to open my mind to the possibility that there are different implementations and different forms of socialism. And I think those different implementations may have different results. And I also think culture and the people play a big part as well.
Yeah, of course. All right, so... All right, so let's dive into this manosphere thing, because to me it was the most interesting part of it. The difference between men in America and men in Europe. What did you notice? What differences?
Oh, wow. All right. So Americans are definitely more outgoing. We're more risk takers. And I guess in general, I could say that we're more aggressive, or in some ways even a bit more masculine. And I'll give you a perfect example. In Germany, it's not commonplace. You know what? Most German men, if they see a woman on the street and they would like to maybe talk to her and see if she'd like to go out, they will never approach her in a setting like that. They will build a social circle, and within the social circle, try to date a girl that they're already friends with, or try to meet someone through a friend. Whereas, you know, obviously with Americans, we're more conditioned to actually meet someone or go up and talk to a stranger, where that's really not commonplace at all, which I also think contributes to the fact that they're having some low birth rate issues in Germany, guys.
Yeah, so did you hear anything about Syrians, anything about the million Muslims that had come in the last year?
You know, interestingly enough, when I was over there, I thought I would have seen more migrants. I saw like a handful of, I guess you could say, people that I might have classified as Arabic that were like panhandling on the street, which all of my German friends, when we were in these places, and I would look at these people, they would tell me, yeah, they do not give those people any money. And they seem very against them. And I did actually inquire at one point about the migrants, and I was told that they were all rounded up and put in a closed airport a couple hours outside of Berlin. So didn't really see any migrants. I mean, there is this thing with the Turks who have been in Germany for quite some time, but I guess they haven't integrated. So they're kind of seen as a minority couple, even now.
Yeah, I think you're during the last 6 years, Europe has used a lot of migrant labor, and so many of these people were brought from Africa and probably to a lesser extent from Middle Eastern countries that were Muslim and would come in, would work and build and do a lot of jobs that weren't necessarily desired by the Europeans, but they ended up living there and kind of creating their own ghettos, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest in Berlin, the biggest non-ethnic German group that you see are the Turks. and they're kind of obvious, at least from my perceptions. I mean, they all pretty much look like what we consider Latinos in the United States. So
yeah. All right. So let's dive into this issue. We had talked about, and I got to ask you about this, the difference in your opinion, just your opinion, between the type of woman that you would find in America versus the type of woman you'd find in Europe, or at least the type of relationship you could establish. You and I were talking about last night this. I think you were basically saying that you see American culture as being degraded over here compared to where we came from, Europe, where we came from and everything. Give me a little bit on that, and don't be afraid to be controversial.
All right. Well, here's the very first thing that I noticed as soon as I got to Berlin is that the majority of women, and by majority, I'd say probably 80% or more, do not wear any makeup when they go out, including even out to like clubs. Or if they do, it's very minor. And the majority of women over there do not get their hair done professionally. Most of the women over there just shampoo, condition, blow dry, and then that's it. I think I saw maybe one or two hair salons the entire time I was out there, and in both times I was in more upscale areas. And I was impressed by the fact that the average German woman, in my opinion, is much, much more beautiful than the average American. And I think there are a couple of reasons that is. Number one, most of the people over there, by most, I would say 90% of them had more of a fit type body type. I did not see fat people at all. Maybe two or three times I actually saw someone that was overweight. And the German women have what I like to call a quiet confidence. They don't seem to have the same look at me. I need to take a picture of myself every 5 minutes and post it on social media attitude that I find to be common in America. And probably the most important thing is that when I did speak to these women, they were all educated, and not educated in the sense that they had a lot of knowledge about a particular profession. They had more of a classical education. They were all worldly. They all spoke at least three languages. And I found them to be very sweet, feminine, and very attentive, and just likable, and just like very endearing and down to earth, which I have to tell you, Kelly, not really finding that very often in the States. And for those that are wondering, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. I've lived most of my life in New York, lived in Miami about 12 years, and I've traveled to every major city on the Eastern Seaboard, with the exception of Boston.
And your military, you had military experience as well?
Right, I'm ex-Army, stationed in Fort Bragg, spent a couple of years in Korea. I mean, I've been to most of the major cities in the United States. So I think I have a pretty good read on American culture and dating in America. I mean, I've also been married. I've been in a few long-term relationships. So
All right. I
got a pretty good read of that.
All right, let's take a break here, and Roger, we'll be right back. Folks, we'll take a break and come back, and I'm going to hit him hard on his view of dating and what went, and maybe the cultural collapse in America that we've seen. 646, Kelly O'Connell, got some weather here for you. And first, I get some local weather, but first we've got some severe thunderstorms returning to the plains and up through Texas here.
Severe weather in the forecast today and tomorrow, all courtesy of this upper level low, which is moving off to the east. So that is going to bring scattered showers and thunderstorms starting later today. Main threat is going to be hail and gusty winds. Can't rule out tornadoes, though. So we'll start to see this line fire up later in the afternoon, right through the evening. Now, tomorrow's threat looks to be a little bit greater, more widespread. We'll go from Nebraska even down into parts of Texas. So that's where the severe threat will be. Again, can't rule out tornadoes.
And you're listening to AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450 to call in at 805-6180. We're going to come back and finish up with Roger. All right, so let's hit it hard on the cultural, the collapse of the culture here when we come back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, I thought you were, like, talking to your listeners.
No, not at all. Let's, because that is the most interesting thing. I mean, that there is this idea that there's been something bad that has happened to America, and it's not just affecting dating.
No, yeah, definitely. Oh, FYI, I have about 14 more minutes before I got to go into work, so.
All right, so I've got left on the show, I've got about 10 minutes.
All right, that works.
Where's your job?
It's in Kendall, which is why I'm moving to Kendall.
Wow, Kendall is, that's below Miami.
Yeah, it is. Well, technically it still is Miami, but it's southwest Miami, yeah.
No, but I mean, that was below Highway 1.
Yep.
That's a nice neighborhood, man.
I mean, we'll see. I'm moving here. I mean, we'll see. There could be some interesting potential there. For a single guy like myself.
Well, I mean, Kendall's got some huge houses. I mean, like on like 1, 2, 3, 5 acre lots. It's amazing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And if you could have gotten in here when they were cheap, you would have made a killing.
All right. So I've got Roger here and he's just about to go into work, but Roger, all right. So hit me with the hardest hitting thing that you could say about the difference of the cultures. And, but before we do that, I've got, from RoucheV.com, 10 reasons why heterosexual men should leave America. Number one, you will sleep with thinner women who don't have attitude. Number two, you will experience a wider range of freedom. Number three, you will experience less anxiety. Four, you will discover your strengths and weaknesses. Five, you will be exposed to more traditional human beings. Six, you can be yourself without shame or fear of exile. Seven, you will pay less for healthier food and a better lifestyle. Eight, you will be exposed to less corporate propaganda. Nine, you will begin to see the world for how it really is. 10, you will realize America is not the best country in the world. Roger.
I mean, I would say I agree with everything there, although I'm not quite there with it yet with the last one about America not being the best country in the world. But I definitely saw in Germany where it seemed to me that, yeah, and maybe some people will disagree with me with this, but it seemed like masculinity over there is appreciated.
At least
upon the reactions I got. And it seems also that they're still more traditional with the gender roles, and there seems to be less confusion as to what gender roles are supposed to be. And I would also say that it seems like the really attractive women out there seem to be very down to earth and aren't necessarily looking for some rich guy to come and take care of them and so on and so forth. And I think that that helps them lead much more fulfilling and happier lives.
All right. So we were talking last night. You believe this culture has suffered a collapse. How would you describe it, our culture in America?
I mean, I would say it's pretty horrendous because, I mean, I'm old enough to have gone. I mean, I've been in the whole dating thing for, man, let's see, 20, I mean, going on 30 years now. And I've seen a lot of different changes. And I think that the hookup culture, and I'm not going to lie, I've definitely profited from the hookup culture. But I think long term, it's going to lead to a lot of unhappiness. And I'm just going to say it in this way. Probably the best way to explain the situation here in America. Women that sleep with a bunch of men are known as sluts. And a lot of people have come up and said, well, that's a double standard because when guys sleep with a whole bunch of women, they're not seen, you know, that's not seen as something bad. But I'd like to point out that men that sleep with a lot of women, they generally be and so on and so forth, a woman with a bunch of different men and basically be fat and ugly. So, i.e., no real effort putting into that.
All right. So, but we're talking here, you're seeing this change is, it's affecting not just dating, but marriage and families and human happiness in America. You're saying that we're just not really that happy because we're fighting off human nature, right?
Definitely. And plus, there's another thing, too, I noticed. There seems to be an anti-movement in the United States. I noticed in Germany, in some ways, they were still kind of conservative in that respect. Where even if girls liked you, they still wanted you to give a little bit of chase and put a little bit of effort. They just didn't serve things up on a platter like so many women have been known to do in certain cities in this country.
Yeah. So you're talking about there's these apps out there now. I don't know if it's Tinder or whatever, but there's hookup apps where people just meet in this country and have sex. Basically have sex, and it's not just a degeneration of the dating. It's kind of a loss of the identity of being a man or a woman. A man is supposed to chase a woman, and then it's romance, it is courtship or whatever, and then that's in theory the start of a long-term relationship that could lead to marriage. That culture has almost been lost here in America.
I mean, I agree with you, and I also point out a few things. Wow. So our culture has degraded to the point that a lot of people, and I'll just tell you from my point of view, like long-term relationships really don't, or I should say didn't appeal to me prior to my trip in Berlin. And the main reason that was is because most, if not all of the women I encounter, outside of their looks, have very little to offer me in what I would consider a long-term relationship. I mean, some of them I've met were great income earners and were educated, which is nice, but really doesn't have the impact I think they think it does, because realistically speaking, when you're in a long-term relationship with a woman, there are going to be added expenses that you wouldn't have had you not been in the said long-term relationship. So the earning potential thing is basically a wash. But the thing that I found most appealing about, and not just the German women, but I met women from all over Europe when I was in Berlin, is that there was just a niceness and sweetness to them, where there were a couple women I actually interacted with and dated that I actually kind of miss being around them, because it was generally fun to be around them outside of the whole trying to get him into bed.
Yeah. Aspect. All right. So yin and yang, male and female, you have your role, I have my role. We come together and we create more than the sum of the parts, right?
No, correct. Yeah.
All right. So I know you've got to go to work here, Roger, but I appreciate you calling in. Now, any concluding thoughts here for the listeners?
Well, my concluding thoughts, and this is for both men and women, all races, ethnicity groups, everyone should definitely travel. Americans, I think, have too many limiting beliefs as far as this country's scary or it's not safe or this group is rude to Americans or these people are unfriendly. That's all a bunch of nonsense,
yeah,
to be quite honest.
And I found when I was living over in Europe and traveling around there, people might hate America, but they generally don't hate Americans. They're kind of fascinated by Americans.
Oh, actually, that's another thing to point out. I was actually very surprised of just how aware they were of what was going on in America, and especially a lot of, like, the American popular culture things that you wouldn't think that foreigners that are in other countries would be aware of, But absolutely, Kelly. I mean, it was nothing but love over there. I had a really good time. I made some really good friends that I probably will be friends with the rest of my life. In fact, I made more friends in 9 days in Berlin than I did in like 3 years of living in Miami. So
doesn't surprise me. Yeah, Miami is like a very rude culture. But to any chance we can get you to stop off in El Paso on your next European trip?
Maybe, Kelly. You never know when you might see me out there. After all, you told me it's a beautiful country out there.
Very, very nice. Thanks for calling in, Roger. And we really appreciate your report from Germany.
Glad to do it, Kelly.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. You too.
All right, folks. Just got a couple of minutes here, but I thought you might find that interesting. Now, the websites that he was talking about, RoucheV.com, The Return of Kings, and another one was Maverick Traveler, and he said he had just kind of discovered that. But the theme in a lot of these, the theme in these sites is the loss of masculinity, fighting off this feminizing culture and this very, I would say, kind of anti-human culture, anti-people culture, and trying to get back to our roots and re-embracing the male and female role. There's a lot of interesting stories. Now, if you're politically correct, you might find it insulting, some of this stuff, but you might, on the other hand, if you're politically correct, you might be well advised to go and read a few of these articles and check it out. Maybe challenge your thinking a little bit. All right, so it's a little bit cooler. We do have a massive hurricane on plowing towards Haiti, a Category 4. On the front of the drudge, I am Bill Clinton's son. I am real, an African-American or a biracial a man with his picture there, claiming to be Bill Clinton's son. Isn't that another campaign surprise? And they say that there's more negative information that's coming out on Hillary, but the Julian Assange says his life is in danger, so he couldn't do the drop this Tuesday, but he's going to be doing it. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-618 to text. We'll be back after a break on the hour. It's Kelly here.
Kelly, this is Donna O'Daniel.
Hey, Donna,
and,
what's up?
Briefly, this last Friday night, I worked at the Republican Party booth at the fair. On the way out, my friend and I were right there at the entrance, and an unmanned county search and rescue quad was heading straight for us. Nobody was in it. And it ran over my foot. Lisa was able to get out of the way, but I couldn't because I was, compromised with my MS, and I couldn't move quickly enough. Anyway, I have a broken bone in my foot, right foot, and it's been suggested to me by a couple of people that I need a lawyer.
Okay.
And I don't know if I do or not, but you're the only lawyer I know, and I don't. I was wondering if you'd be interested in talking with me about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. Write this number down, 805-1245. That's one of the numbers at the business. And then let me get you Marina.
Okay, now is that area code 515?
Yeah.
575?
Yeah, hold on a second. Here is the other one, 639-4828.
Okay, I'll give you a call later today.
Okay. All right, Donna, sorry to hear about your problem. Did you find the first hour interesting?
Well, to tell you the truth, I slept in until 6:45. The night before, I didn't get much sleep at all.
Oh, sorry.
They have my foot and my lower leg wrapped up like a
Ooh.
Mummy,
Ooh.
And it's just driving me crazy with burning in the bottom of my foot and irritation on my leg, so I didn't sleep very well. So I am sorry I didn't hear you before.
No problem, but in there we'll talk later.
Okay.
Bye. All right. So just researching into this claim a little bit that's on the front of the Drudge. Here is Danny Williams Clinton is his name. Here he's got a little bit from some kind of randomly posted website. Only a few hits on this, but here is in about 3,500 views.
My name is Danny Williams, and I was giving a little video out for my followers. I want to thank y'all for supporting me and following me. And I am real. I am Danny Williams. Thank you.
And it's Danny Williams Clinton. And I'll have a little bit on that for you in just a minute. All right, so let's get into a few more stories here. I hope you found it interesting. You know, I think that my buddy Roger, he was a little bit reluctant to get into what we had talked about last night, which was some pretty hard-hitting critique of the culture. He did go there, but a little bit reluctant because there's so much political correctness out there. People are basically taught in this culture that the worst thing that you can do, one of the worst things that you can do, is share your opinion if it's unacceptable. So I guess it is unacceptable, a lot of it. But if you go to Europe, one of the things that I mentioned that I'd noticed is that it is more traditional in, you know, I think that people have a hard time accepting race, not race, but gender roles here. And I think it's caused a lot of misery because I think people have a certain identity, which really kind of find the idea. The assumptions behind the position to really understand it. And in this culture, the implication, the idea behind the posture, the idea behind all of this activity in the culture that's fighting for gender equality and transgenderism and this pushback. Now, they're offering a course in some university to fight back against the toxic implications of masculinity. You had an attack on gender for decades here, and the upshot is people are less and less comfortable in their own skin, and they're more and more searching for an identity. And I think there's a lot of misery out there. So interesting. Everybody wants to be essentially who they were created as, a male, female, everything. All right, I've got an article here. Clinton, Trump in tight race in New Mexico. This is from the Albuquerque Journal. And Dem candidate Hillary Clinton holds a tiny lead over Donald Trump among likely New Mexico voters in a four-way race. While libertarian candidate, that was the word I was searching for previously. I think Roger would identify himself as a libertarian. Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson is pulling nearly a quarter of voter support in the state. Isn't that amazing? And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
My name is Holly, and I just want you to know that I will not listen to your station anymore because of who you had on this morning, Roger.
Why?
Who is a feminist, and
he's a feminist.
If he wants to go over to Europe and stay there, that is fine with the women here in the United States.
All right, so Terry, give me some. Hold on a second.
I have to run into physical
therapy. All right, go ahead.
I will contact you by email later, but I have to run to physical therapy right now. I am an American citizen. I am a soldier.
Well, what's the basic argument?
My argument is Roger wants a woman who will wait on him hand and foot
Okay.
instead of somebody that will stand up for themselves and be a woman and take care of the family and do the work she needs to do. I need to run to physical therapy, but I can call you later.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the call. I'm going to have to confront Roger over this. Well, don't you think that there is just a lot of, and we just heard it right there, there's a lot of just frustration in the gender roles right now in America? And I think it's kind of symbolized by these trigender bathrooms, you know? You know, gender you are. You go to the gender of sex because you don't identify. All right, so here, look, this is absolutely fascinating. Clinton 5%, Trump 31%, Johnson 24%. What do you think about that? Let me ask you this. Do you, I know there's a lot of people that I've run into who have just told me Clinton and Trump are both unacceptable. Clinton is a pathological liar. She's got major health issues, and she's got all of these scandals that trail her. And Trump, and I had a friend text me last night who I have never had one conversation with, and assumed that I was supporting Trump, although this is a person that is really not that, a little bit younger than me, and so I don't know. There's a lot of people, believe it or not, that I don't talk about politics with because it doesn't strike me as a good topic, but this person was mad at me about Trump. And, you know, people are mad at Trump. They think he's a racist. They think he is a bigot, opinionated. He is a billionaire that doesn't pay his taxes, blah, blah, blah. And he's not really a conservative. So you've got major. And by the way, I do not identify with Trump. I see him as the only choice here because we can't keep going in the direction we're going. That's my impression. There's things with Trump I admire. He's unafraid to stand up and give his opinion. There's things with him that I cringe. I wish he was a little bit more, tactful. You can disagree with that people without being disagreeable, but maybe he would have never gotten the support that he did, but I think we need to shake up the establishment. We need to challenge it. And I don't see anybody on the horizon who could do that other than Trump in the way that he does it. And in addition to that, these are the two candidates. But, I mean, I understand people coming along and saying both of these people are totally unacceptable. But do you accept the idea of protest votes? I mean, we have one of two people that's going to be, the president, unless some bizarre thing happens. And then you got just in state 24. Let one go on here. What do you think about that? The country's on the wrong track. Now, I'm part of that 63%. You probably are too. The 37% that think that we're on the right track, I'd like to know who these people are and what they think is so great about what's going on in the country right now, because we are caught up in a number of issues. Some of them are political, but a lot of them are cultural. And I would say not without, a source being, I think that there's a religious crisis in this country too. So we're fighting for an identity from the religious, arena. We're fighting for an identity in gender, in dating, in family. All these things go together. We're fighting for an identity on what kind of an economy we want to have. And then we're fighting on an identity on what it means to be a country at all and whether we should be involved in foreign realms, and if we are, what that's going to look like. And it seems to me that the Obama administration's approach to this has been a disaster. And even if he remains relatively popular, a little bit over 50%, more people than that by maybe a factor of 15% think that we're in the wrong, going in the wrong direction. So what do you think about that? 523-1450. Now, Brian Sanderoff, president of Research and Polling Incorporated, says the election is close in New Mexico. The bottom line is that New Mexico is more competitive than I expected. All right, so what is going on out there in the minds of New Mexicans, in Doña Annans, that would give a little bit more support to Trump? Here's a guess. There's more support in the Hispanic communities for Trump than I would have thought. There's dissatisfaction with the ruling elite, which Hillary is seen as a part of. Gary Johnson represents, number one, I think, the touchy-feely, the warmth of the past, a good governor in the old days, or at least seen that way, and a neutral person, a person who's libertarian, who's has got defensible values. I don't know. 6% of respondents in the Journal's presidential poll said they remain undecided. That's enough to tip the race. And this is from September 27th to 29th, the day after the first presidential debate. I mean, basically, people, probably a fair chance that people who had seen the debate had voted or had given their position in this poll, but you know, here I'm just kind of fascinated by this. And so, all right, so here's another question. If they saw Trump in the debate and thought he was a disaster, did he lose a couple of points? I mean, was it tied before the debate? Let's put it that way. Now, if you get rid of the two extra candidates, Stein and Gary Johnson, Clinton is leading by about 10 points. 44% of New Mexico voters liked Clinton versus 34 for Trump, but 11% of poll respondents said they would not vote for either, while 3% wanted the other, which is big numbers. Sanderoff said Johnson's presence in the race is hurting Clinton more than Trump. The former New Mexico two-term governor has the support of 31% of Hispanics, and they're saying that he's picking up Hispanic support in this state. Although Clinton does hold a solid lead over Trump with Hispanics, 40% said they'd vote for Clinton, 18% or about half would said they'd vote for Trump. But that's, don't you think that's more than you would have guessed? Because, I mean, we've been told repeatedly that Clinton doesn't like Hispanics and is a racist. Although I think if people break down the incidents of when he spoke, there is a explanation for Trump followers, for people who are enthusiastic about him. He was not calling all Hispanics rapists. He was saying the women going across Mexico. Here's how I think you could spin it anyway if you were his PR guy. He was saying these women are coming across Mexico, which we found out subsequently almost all women crossing Mexico to get into New Mexico or Texas or Arizona, et cetera, are getting raped. So obviously there's a lot of rapists that are doing that. Who they are exactly, I don't know. Although they said the military and the police were having problems with that. And then his criticism of the judge, you could say it's specific to this guy who he felt was biased. So anyway, 38% of women said they would vote for Clinton, while 27% would support Trump. Johnson had the support of 24% of the women. Now, a bright spot in the Journal's poll, the Albuquerque Journal's poll, was of male voters in the state. 35% of New Mexicans, males, said they'd vote for Trump, while 31% they said they'd support Clinton. And Johnson has 25% of the male vote. In other words, the same amount as he's already getting. Clinton gets 3% of the Republican vote, while 9% of Democrats are going to support Trump. That's interesting to me. 20% of Democrats said that they would vote for Johnson. Anti-Trump Republicans are moving to Johnson, not Clinton, Sandoroff said, the pollster. Among independents, Gary Johnson led all candidates in New Mexico by 42% to Clinton's 26%, to Trump's 14%, to Stein's 6%. Sandoroff said some of Gary Johnson's support is due to the fact that many voters dislike both major candidates. Those with the highest level of education, graduate degrees, or more preferred Clinton over Trump by 2-1. And 1% they would vote said of these graduate degree people said they would vote for Clinton, while just 22% said they'd vote for Trump. And Trump led Clinton by more than 2-1 margin, 52-20% among New Mexico voters on the conservative eastern side of the state. All right, so anyway, with a race so close, we would be the deciding vote in this black kid who's a biracial kid whose dad is Bill Clinton. We'll be right back. 722, 723 on the button. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450 with Kelly O'Connell, AMKOBE, 805-6180 to text. Okay, we've got category four and Holly called in. She's headed into physical therapy. Don't write the show off. Call up and straighten us out, you know? I mean, I knew that this was going to be a little bit controversial for Roger. And I mean, to be honest, Roger and I would disagree on some stuff. I mean, I think it's much better to find somebody, get married and have a family than to play the game, you know, but I'm, you know, look at me, I'm not married. So I got no right to preach to anybody about marriage. But anyway, as Kathy would put it, New Mexico State Police arrest third suspect in killing of Johnny Ramirez and 22-year-old Alejandro Ruiz of Las Cruces was arrested September 29th, charged with an open count of murder. And they had already arrested 18-year-old D'Amica Childs and 24-year-old Adrian Banda. And anyway, sad story. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out the details coming up. New Mexico, and this is from the Albuquerque Journal again, ranking 35th for most competitive tax code. New Mexico is maintaining its ranking as the 35th most competitive tax code in the nation, according to the Tax Foundation. And they scored, what did they judge this on? We did very well according to property taxes and top in the nation, but poor on its sales tax structure, 42nd out of 50, but up from 48. And that's related to gross receipts. The Foundation's State Business Tax Climate Index was released last Wednesday, and it takes into account more than 100 tax variables in five tax categories: corporate, individual, income, sales, property, and unemployment. And based on rates for the current year, the Foundation rated the state's corporate tax structure at 25th, about half in the middle. Up two places, though. Individual tax structure 35th, down from 34th, and unemployment insurance structure 17th, down from 7th. And they do note that New Mexico is using corporate income tax reductions with the red field to drop to 5.6%. All right. Nasser, who runs a website, that he was, it's 538 spelled out by words, 538. Nate Silver, who worked for the New York Times for quite a while and then went out on his own and has written a couple of pretty successful books, and was the one who most closely predicted Barack Obama's election rate for Romney. He's got a possible out there. The possibility of electing a third party candidate. His plausible map shows that New Mexico could go to Johnson on election day. It would deadlock the Electoral College the way he's got this. So the states that he's got going for Clinton versus Trump, Clinton would receive 267 votes. Trump 266 votes, and you need 270, pardon me. And so, wow, we could be the deciding factor. Isn't that exciting? But he says it's not likely because Johnson only has a 2-3% chance of winning, but I don't know. I mean, there has been so many just kind of fascinating changes in this race. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to hear a little bit more about this kid who claims to be Bill Clinton's biracial son. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on AM 1450, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text in. It's at 732 and about 65 degrees out, a little chilly.
Thank you.